Good morning to you. Good to be with you again. It has been quite a while since I have been here last, but I appreciate the invitation to come back. And yes, Chuck, I do remember those Saturday mornings when you would come over, and I was trying. No, I'm just kidding. Appreciate so much the invitation. In the course of our lessons this week, you may have noticed as you looked at the titles that every one of them is a question. We're just going to be looking at a number of different questions that I think are worth giving some thought to. In some cases, there'll be questions that someone may well ask you somewhere along the way. In some cases, they may be questions that you are asking. In some cases, it may be questions that we're really not asking, but we ought to be. We need to be thinking about that. So I hope in the course of things, and we're going to largely be talking about some pretty basic kinds of subjects in the course of the week. I hope it will help you to be better equipped to talk to others. I hope it will strengthen your faith. What I really hope is that we'll be able to get some others to come who need to hear these things and to think about these questions from a Bible standpoint. Open your Bibles, if you will, with me to Luke chapter 17 this morning. Luke chapter 17, beginning in verse 11. Luke tells us about one of the miracles that Jesus worked. He says, while he was on the way to Jerusalem, he was passing between Samaria and Galilee. As he entered a village, 10 leprous men who stood at a distance met him. And they raised their voices, saying, Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. When he saw them, he said to them, go and show yourselves to the priests. And as they were going, they were cleansed. Now one of them, when he saw that he had been healed, turned back, glorifying God with a loud voice, and he fell on his face at his feet, giving thanks to him. And he was a Samaritan. Then Jesus answered and said, were there not 10 cleansed? But the 9, where are they? Was no one found who returned to give glory to God except this foreigner? And he said to him, stand up and go. Your faith has made you well. Why did the Holy Spirit see fit to include this paragraph in Scripture for all time? It is one of the miracles that Jesus worked, and as all of the miracles, it is a part of the evidence, the body of evidence we have to prove who Jesus was. That would be reason enough. It is also one that features as somewhat of a hero, a Samaritan. And that opens the idea to Jewish audiences that even though in the Old Testament they were the select people of God, that even these that they despised, the Samaritans and others, might well be acceptable to God. That was a difficult concept for them to take hold of. Maybe that's why it's included. But I wonder if it's not included for me to think about that question that Jesus raised when he asked, were there not 10 cleansed? But the 9, where are they? Where are the 9? Where is gratitude? In this case, from the majority. So I need to think about that. I need to think about the question that Jesus asked, am I a grateful person? Or might I be in the 9 that the Lord was complaining that they weren't there? Let's think for a few minutes this morning about the subject of gratitude. Two parts to the lesson. First of all, I'd like for us to just review in our thoughts some individuals to whom we ought to be grateful, or for whom we ought to be grateful. And then second, some ways in which we can show gratitude. But we'll start with that beginning part. To whom shall we show gratitude? Well, you have to begin with God, don't you? I mean, that's just where we must begin. In the book of Romans, when Paul was describing the demise of the Gentile world spiritually, this was where they began to go wrong. He said, even though they knew God, they did not honor Him as God or give thanks. There was the beginning point. God began to be dethroned in their lives, and one of the first indications of that problem is they quit giving thanks to God for all the things they had. So, why should we be giving thanks to God? Well, this we could spend our whole time on this one, but let's just think about some different reasons why we ought to be grateful to God. And I'll begin by being grateful to God because of who He is. We tend to start with because of what He's done for us, but let's start with who He is. Grateful to God for who He is. And we certainly need to be that. I'm grateful for a number of the characteristics that God has. The one I put on the screen is the one that I have to use a lot. God's long-suffering. His willingness to overlook. His willingness to give me another chance. Another opportunity. Even when I have repeated the same mistake. We get a little short with that, don't we? When folks make a mistake, we're generous enough, and then they turn around and make it again. And again, well, that's about enough of that. I'm grateful for God's long-suffering. His willingness to give me another chance and another chance and still another. I'm grateful to God for all of the rich blessings that He gives us. And we can just start with the daily provisions that we have, the obvious things. It's an interesting passage to me in 1 Timothy chapter 4 as it relates to daily provisions. In 1 Timothy 4, Paul is warning about the time coming when the false teachers will come and say you ought not to eat certain things. And of course, they're wrong about that. And he says in verse 4, for everything created by God is good, and nothing is to be rejected if it is received with gratitude. For it is sanctified by means of the word of God and prayer. For a long time, I hadn't paid much attention to that. And prayer, part of it. I thought always that, well, you know, when Jesus declared all foods clean, as Mark said that he did, and as he did in the vision to Peter in Acts 10, so that old clean, unclean distinction from the law was gone, we can eat anything. That's sanctified by the word of God. We have His permission. But Paul says it is sanctified by the word of God and prayer. And our thanksgiving for it. And that is as essential to being ready to enjoy this blessing as having God's permission to do it. In His Word. So I need to learn how to be grateful just for the everyday blessings that the Lord gives me. And then, of course, especially for the spiritual blessings that we have. Ephesians 1 and verse 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ. Everything that we have is all found in Christ, and it all comes from the Father. And so the apostle begins, blessed be God, praise be to God, thanks be to God for these things. In Christ, he says, we are chosen. In Christ, we are God's chosen people. In Christ, we are adopted as sons. In Him, we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of our sins. In Him, we have the unfolding of the revelation of God's plan. In Him, we're sealed with the Holy Spirit. Just talks about a number of blessings that we have in that place. And one of the blessings that we have is the blessing of prayer. That's a privilege that we have as children of God, to be able to call upon our Heavenly Father through Jesus Christ. Have you ever tried to call someone important? Have you ever wished you could call up the President of the United States or maybe one of the Supreme Court judges? Have you ever even tried to get hold of your state senator? Or maybe you have a problem at some business and so you call customer service, which starts in India somewhere with someone you can't understand, and then you hope to work your way up, you know. You wish you could just call the CEO and just start at the top, because nobody else seems to be. Have you ever noticed how hard that is to do? Those folks are too busy. They don't want to hear from everyone. And yet with God, Almighty God, we can call upon Him any time, day or night, and He is anxious to hear from us and has promised to give attention to what we ask Him about. And we are quick to thank or to call on God for blessings in times of need. Are we just as quick to thank Him once that blessing has been granted? I don't know how it is here, but in the congregations where I preach, there typically is more said by way of asking God to heal the sick than there is by thanking Him for those cases in which He has. And that shouldn't be that way. I have on the screen here 1 Samuel chapter 2. Great illustration. You remember this account when Hannah, who was barren, was praying earnestly for a child. And old Eli the priest thought she was drunk and made those false accusations against her. When she got her request, she got the child, and she devoted him to the Lord as she had promised. In 1 Samuel 2, verses 1 through 10, you have this prayer. It's a beautiful prayer that Hannah expresses to the Lord. And it's not just thank you for the child. It's nothing like that. It is a marvelous praising of God and His matchless power. She says, there is no one holy like the Lord for all the things that He can do. Am I grateful to God for the great blessings that I have, including the blessing of prayer? But before we leave that, there's one other thing that we really need to say there. We need to be grateful for not only all those times when we've prayed to God for something and He has granted us the thing that we asked for, we also need to learn to be grateful for the times that He says no. In 2 Corinthians chapter 12, we have an illustration of that. 2 Corinthians 12, Paul refers in verse 7 to his thorn in the flesh, whatever that was. He said concerning this, verse 8 of 2 Corinthians 12, concerning this I implored the Lord three times that it might leave me. And He has said to me, my grace is sufficient for you, for power is perfected in weakness. In other words, no, I will not remove that. So how did Paul respond? He said, most gladly, therefore, I will rather boast about my weaknesses so that the power of Christ may dwell in me. Okay, said Paul. If that's God's will, I will be grateful for them. I will even go so far as to boast about this problem. I'm not going to complain because God said no. If it serves His purpose, I'll be grateful for it. Now that's not easy. That doesn't always come naturally, to be grateful for the things when the Lord says no and it's something that we really want. But when we pray, it's not just a matter of faith in the power of God. It's also a matter of faith in the wisdom of God. I have to trust one just as much as the other and learn how to be grateful. While we're on the subject of things that might be a little more difficult, Peter teaches us that we need to accept the adversity that comes from God as well. Mike was reading a while ago from 1 Peter chapter 4. We'll just go just a little bit past. In fact, right after where he left off. Verse 12. Beloved, do not be surprised at the fiery ordeal among you which comes upon you for your testing, as though some strange thing were happening to you. But to the degree that you share the sufferings of Christ, keep on rejoicing, so that also at the revelation of his glory, you may rejoice with exultation. If you are reviled for the name of Christ, you are blessed, because the Spirit of glory and of God rests on you. Make sure that none of you suffers as a murderer or a thief or an evildoer or a troublesome meddler. But if anyone suffers as a Christian, he's not to be ashamed, but is to glorify God in this name. That's not our natural response, is it, when people start ridiculing us for our faith, when we are rejected because of that, when we start facing trials because of that? But Peter says that's a good thing. It helps to mark and identify us as the people of God. It can actually be a faith-building exercise before it's all over with. And so I need to even learn how to be grateful for the not-so-good times because of the benefit that they might bring me. One more thing on this list. I need to be grateful to God for the family that he has given me, not just in the flesh, but also in the spirit. Paul wrote to the Thessalonians, 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, chapter 1, verse 2, he said he was always giving thanks to God for all of them. Always for all of them. We have a very special bond together in Christ. And we're a diverse people. We have a lot of different perspectives on things, and those different perspectives come to the surface every once in a while, and we may disagree about something. And maybe nobody here does, but most of the places where I've been, there's somebody or two that have a few quirks. It's usually me. But, you know, we have that, and we have to learn how to work around those things a little bit. But at the same time, what a precious blessing that we have. So many people who love us and care for us and would do anything for us. What a blessing. We need to be grateful to God because it's in his family that we have that. But in addition to God, there are some others to whom we need to be grateful. And I'll start with mom and dad. Parents. The younger you are, the less you realize this, of course. The older you get, the more it starts making some sense to you. And the older you get, the more you appreciate just what's involved with all of that. Grateful to mom and dad for all those sleepless nights, for all their care, for the sacrifices they made so I could have things as a child. Grateful to them, in essence, for their love. In 2 Timothy chapter 3, when Paul was warning about the difficult times that would come, and he's describing those people and their characteristics, it's interesting to me that he lists ungrateful right after disobedient to parents. I don't know that there's a significance to the order in which Paul lists those ungodly qualities in those verses, but that one strikes me. Disobedient to parents, and the next thing, ungrateful. And it would suggest that lack of gratitude began at home. with that rebellious spirit and then just extended right on out into life. I'm grateful to parents. Starts making us think about the other part of our family, is grateful for our husbands and wives. You know Proverbs 31, I'm sure, the great essay about the excellent wife, worthy woman in King James. Proverbs 31 says in verse 28, of this mother, her children rise up and bless her, her husband also. And he praises her, saying, many daughters have done nobly, but you excel them all. Honey, you're the best. And that's what they want to hear. And when you say that, they know they're not the best of all the millions of women that have ever lived. But that's what they want to hear. That's the kind of expression of gratitude. That's the kind of love and appreciation that we need to have. Because there are a lot of things about life that we share together in marriage that are rather thankless tasks. You know, there's not really a whole lot exciting about cooking and cleaning and doing laundry and cutting grass and, you know, changing oil in cars and all those things that are just a part of life have to be done. And sometimes you take it for granted until there's nobody there to do that for you. My wife, who unfortunately was not able to come this week, she usually does, she is so good about every time I come in from doing the yard, and, you know, I'm smelly and yuck and whatever, she'll say, thank you so much for doing that. I appreciate you doing that for me. I try to remember to tell her that on Mondays, which is her laundry day, you know. Thank you for that, too. I forget sometimes, but because she's already got it done by the time I get home. But is that such a big thing? Just to say to somebody, thank you for doing these things that I know weren't particularly fun, but needed to be done. But there's another side of that, too. With husbands and wives, we're talking about people who stand by us week in and month in and year out. My parents, in just a couple of months, will be celebrating their 67th wedding anniversary. They're getting to the point where they're needing some medical care and things, and it's kind of interesting, these young people that are coming into their homes to help them out a little bit are just awed by this couple that's been married for 67 years. It's unheard of in their circle of things. And they will ask, how do you do that? What's the secret? My dad loves it when they answer that question because his answer is always mutual put-upance. In other words, there's just a lot you got to put up with, you know, and you have to learn how to do that. And I appreciate my good wife, who has been putting up with my foolishness for over 40 years now. And she needs to know that I appreciate that, and I'm grateful for that. Spiritual leaders. The Bible teaches us to appreciate them. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 12. Paul writes, but we request of you, brethren, that you appreciate those who diligently labor among you, have charge over you in the Lord, and give you instruction, and that you esteem them very highly in love because of their work. You've got shepherds here. You've got overseers. You realize how blessed you are because you have that? If you've been in a congregation where you don't have that, then you come to appreciate that pretty quickly. Do those men know that you appreciate that? sometimes it's easier to criticize the elders for the things that are not the way you'd like them to be than to thank them for all those things when you really don't know all the facts anyway. Like preachers, Bible class teachers, are they appreciated? There's a lot of work that goes into teaching a Bible class. Whether you're talking about teaching an adult class and the study and research that goes into proper adult class teaching. You're talking about teaching 2- and 3-year-olds. You know, sometimes in the little classes, a teacher may spend hours on an activity that'll be over in about 2 minutes in the class. Tremendous amount of work goes into all that. Do the teachers know that you're grateful for that? When they're sacrificing their time to teach your children, or the adults are doing that to teach you? What about just older Christians? They've been great examples. It meant a lot to you just because it was somebody that you could count on, somebody that you could look to, and maybe without consciously saying it, still saying in the back of your mind, that's what I want to be like as a Christian. Grateful for those people. Proverbs 27 encourages us to appreciate a friend. It says, faithful are the wounds of a friend, but deceitful are the kisses of an enemy. Proverbs 27, verse 6. If you've got a friend that'll come to you and say what needs to be said and do for you what needs to be done, sometimes that's the easy thing and sometimes it's a difficult thing. When you've got a really good friend, you need to be grateful for that. And in fact, for anyone who provides some benefit to you. But we need to get to the second part of our lesson. And these are not time balanced, incidentally. We're okay there. How do we express gratitude? We've suggested some people, some individuals, that the Bible indicates we need to be grateful to. How do we do that? Here are a few ways. Number one, say it. Just something as simple as saying, thank you. We say that in prayer to God. That's a beginning point. Just say, thank you, Lord. And then maybe list some specifics rather than just putting it all under the umbrella of all of our blessings. If we'll start being a little more specific, that might be a good thing. We need to learn to say that to each other. Years ago, I picked up a little book, a little paperback. It was called Everything I Really Needed to Know I Learned in Kindergarten. I was a little disappointed in the book. It was a great title. I thought the concept was good. I didn't think the author really did that much with it. But what he was saying was, you know, some of those little skills of like, excuse me, and please, and thank you, and sharing, and so those are fundamental to life and way more important than trigonometry and some of those other things. Just learn to say thank you. And again, when it comes especially to those who are close to us, we interact with them a lot, even those folks still need to hear the thank yous from us all the time. In terms of expressing our gratitude to God, I'll refer you to the passage that Brother Mike essentially closed with this morning, 1 Peter 4 and verse 10, when Peter says, as anyone has received, New American Standard says a special gift, but that word special has just been added. Any gift would qualify. As anyone has received a gift from God, use it in service. If you gave your child a gift, let's say it's his birthday, and there was maybe some sort of a video game that he wanted, maybe a tablet or some electronic something, things are kind of expensive at times, and so you go out and you shell out several hundred dollars for one of those, and you give it to him, and within 2 weeks' time, the whole thing is totally trashed. As a parent, you might get the sense that there really wasn't a whole lot of appreciation there. How do you suppose God feels when He richly provides us with so many gifts, so many tools, so many opportunities, if we just don't use them the way He intended? Might He feel that despite our song of thanksgiving, or maybe our prayer of thanksgiving, there's really not as much gratitude there as He would like to see? When it comes to God, we thank Him by living as He has directed. In John 17, in the Lord's Prayer, and this was the night before Jesus was crucified, He said in John 17 in verse 4 to the Father, "I glorified You on the earth, having accomplished the work that You sent Me to do." The Son pleased the Father because He did with His life exactly what the Father wanted Him to do. It's interesting, in the Gospel of John, there are several references to this, that where Jesus will say, "I'm always doing the will of My Father who sent Me." He said in John 4, this is my food, to do the will of the Father. If I want to thank God, if I want to express gratitude to God for what He's done, I need to live my life the way God wants me to live that life, to live as He has directed. And it's a little bit different, but it's largely the same principle. One of the great ways in which a child can express gratitude to a parent is to live the way the parent taught him to live. To take those valuable lessons that the parent tried to instill and to demonstrate them in his life. Another way in which a child can do that for a parent is by taking care of mom and dad when the time comes. I'm preaching a series of lessons from the book of 1 Timothy right now on Sunday evenings in Bossier City, where I preach. And just this past week, we were in 1 Timothy chapter 5, where Paul talks about the care of widows. And it's largely, I suppose, a paragraph about the church and its responsibility in that area. But it's impressive to me that in the paragraph, which is 1 Timothy 5, verses 3 through 16, at the beginning of it, right in the middle of it, and again at the end of it, three times, Paul stresses that this is first a family. If any widow has children or grandchildren, he says in verse 4, they must first learn to practice piety in regard to their own family and to make some return to their parents. This is acceptable in the sight of God. This is pleasing in God's sight, English Standard says. That's how you can say thank you. When you were little and you needed everything and mom and dad provided for you, and now the roles get reversed, and mom and dad start needing more and more things, well, best way you can say thank you for what they did years ago is to just return the favor and do for them. Some of you know exactly what I'm talking about. And it's kind of an odd thing when you get there, when those parent-child, when you start trying to tell your mother and father what to do, it's not like a teenager trying to tell them what to do. This is out of love and respect, and you're trying to balance giving them good counsel, and yet this is mom and dad, and I don't want to be disrespectful here. It's a little odd, but what a great expression of love that is. That you care so much that you want them to have the very best right till the end. Giving gifts is a way in which we can express gratitude for others. It can be something little. It can be a card. Fellas, don't ever not get the card on the anniversary day. Okay. Don't forget that. But it's okay to give a card once in a while when it's not a birthday or an anniversary. Just an extra one. Maybe something special has happened and you just want to say a special thank you. Maybe there's not anything special, but just kind of want to do a little something. Get a card. Get a little gift. Get some flowers. Think about gifts and flowers and thank you. I think about something happened when we were living in Louisville. Came home one day, I had me a little vase with a rose in it. Gave it to Sandy. I said, "Here, dear." I said, "I love you so much. Brought you a flower." And she looked at me and she said, "What's this about?" Because obviously I don't get flowers a whole lot. You know. What's with the flower? You know. I said, "I just love you and I want you to have this flower." "Well, I appreciate that, but what's going on?" "What's this about?" She wouldn't let it go. So finally I had to tell her that I got my oil change that morning. And at the oil change place, they were giving away free roses that day. So she got a rose. And it ruined the whole thing. I'm just kidding. Would your wife be that shocked if you walked in with some flowers? Or maybe a gift, it doesn't have to be something. It can be something that you do. Let me help you out with that. You go sit down. Let me take care of that for you tonight. That's a great way to just say to somebody, "I care about you. I love you. I appreciate you." Galatians 6 and verse 6. The apostle tells us that we need to share with our teachers. I think this is an expression of gratitude as well. Galatians 6 and verse 6, he says, "The one who is taught the word is to share all good things with the one who teaches him." And Bible students are pretty evenly divided about the application of that particular verse. One school of thought says that it has to do with material things, sharing, helping to support those folks and all, because of the spiritual benefit that you have derived from them. And the Bible clearly upholds that principle in explicit languages in other places, like in 1 Corinthians 9 and others. That may exactly be Paul's point here. The other school of thought is that he's thinking about sharing spiritually in the sense of taking that teaching and applying it in your life and maybe even sharing it with someone else. And so it's an extension of what or a completion of what the teacher was trying to accomplish. And that's a kind of a sharing or a fellowship in the truth. That makes good sense too. I'll not try to limit it to either one. But the point is that in whichever way we do that, we are saying to those people how much we appreciate their work. And we'll close by circling back to 1 Thessalonians that I read a while ago. I stopped probably just one phrase too early. This was the passage where Paul was telling us about appreciating those who labor among us. So let's just read it again. 1 Thessalonians 5 and verse 12. "But we request of you, brethren, that you appreciate those who diligently labor among you and have charge over you in the Lord and give you instruction, and that you esteem them very highly in love because of their work. Live in peace with one another." That's significant. live in peace with one another, live cooperatively with those who are leading you, and as we work together with them, that's a way of saying to them how much we appreciate what they're trying to do, because we're working cooperatively under their direction. It's somewhat the same thing that the author of Hebrews said in Hebrews chapter 13, where he encourages to submit to those who have the rule over us, and to do that in such a way that it would be profitable for everyone involved. I hope the thoughts we've had in our lesson this morning, and this is by no means exhaustive, but I hope they have started triggering some things in your mind, and maybe you're thinking of some specific individuals for whom you are grateful, and or thinking of some ways in which you can express gratitude. I need this lesson real often, because it's so easy for us to take things for granted. We have a song, an old song I love to sing, Count Your Blessings, because it makes us stop and think about just how richly blessed of a people we are in so many ways. So let's do give that thought, and let's also think about how expressive we are. And to go back to the text where we began in Luke 17, if we had been in the group, we'd been one of those lepers who cried out, Lord, have mercy on us. And he said, go show yourself to the priest. And as we were on the way, we looked down and all of a sudden the leprosy was gone. Would I have been among the nine that went, maybe went on to the priest and couldn't wait to go on with life or whatever they did? Or would I have been the one that said, ooh, I need to turn around and go back and say thank you to Jesus? Good for us to think about. Thanks for listening so well this morning.